Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome, family. This is Tim the Overseer. Welcome to Spiritual Freestyle Fridays. Hopefully you've all had a blessed and wonderful day. It is good to be back, and it's definitely good to be in the land of the living. I am grateful for my life, soul, health, and strength. I am grateful for you all having a blessed and wonderful day. I'm speaking and I'm claiming that you've had a good day. And if you've had a challenging day, I'm praying for you that it gets better because we still have some time left in this day. I'd just like to say that I thank each and every one of you for taking out your busy schedule to tune in tonight. And I just want to take this moment to express gratitude to the Most High and want to thank Him for another blessed day in my life. Thank Him for a good day, a good week. If I kind of come off a little tired tonight, it's because I probably am. I've been really working hard and also kind of picked up a little bit on my workouts. So just trying to stay healthy. So I am a little tired, but nonetheless, the Holy Spirit is going to carry me through. And after this, I can lay down and get me a good night's rest. So I just want to say I'm thankful for life itself in general. Thank Him most of all for my salvation. Thank Him for my family, my friends, loved ones, my wife and children, all my close loved ones. Pray even for our enemies. Make sure we're praying for them as well, that that they receive salvation before it is too late, because we know that we don't want no one to be lost. Amen. We don't want no one to be lost. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. Okay, so we don't want nothing like that to happen to nobody. So I just want to thank the Heavenly Father for a roof over our head, clothes on our back, shoes on our feet, food on our table, amen, and income if you're still working. If not, praise Him anyway, because we believe that He's going to make a way out of no way. He's going to take care of you. We're thankful for life, soul, health, and strength. Again, family, make sure that we are praying for people out in the world. I try to stay as positive as possible, but I think a lot of people are not really realizing the impact of this pandemic that we're dealing with and how it is really affecting millions of people. There's literally people who don't have food to eat or money in the bank at all. Some people just, I talked to a lady the other day, and she was kind of crying. She said that her husband was laid off when this whole thing kicked off. He actually went back to work. He was happy about that, but he turned right back around. The company let him go. So just make sure that we're praying for people. People are really, really out here struggling to make amends. And it's amazing to me how they're still billing people. Car notes, rent, mortgage, they're still getting billed. But just make sure that we're praying for people, praying for our loved ones, praying for those who are really affected, both mental, financial, medical. Just make sure that we're praying for everyone out there, okay? So, family, I just want to take this time out to say that I love each and every one of you. If no one has told you today that they love you, let me be the first one to tell you today that I love you, okay? I definitely mean that from the bottom of my heart. I mean that. I thank the Heavenly Father. I love you with spiritual love from the Heavenly Father, which comes from above. Again, just want to thank you all for being here. So I'm just kind of rolling by myself. I don't know if my co-host is going to tune in. One of them kind of hit me up and said that he was kind of busy. He has a good report, so I don't want to spoil it. So I'm going to let him, whenever he comes back, I'm going to let him share with you his good news and his blessing. I don't want to spoil it for him, so I'm quite sure he want to be the one to break the good news to you all. So the other host, I guess he'll be on shortly or sometime tonight. If not, you all know how we do it. We roll solo before. Amen. If we need to, we'll roll solo again. Amen. All glory to the Most High. I'm glad that you're back for another, for more spiritual food for the soul. Again, hope you've all had a blessed day and even better spiritual week. Again, I'm really, really praying for y'all. And I really mean that. I don't want no one to think that I make light of anyone's situation. I just have to be blessed and fortunate. I would definitely say that I am still able to work. But again, just dealing with seeing other people's situations, it just makes you wonder. But we definitely have to be praying. As I told you all before, I really believe that this is an awakening that's happening. The enemy meant it for bad, but the Most High meant it for good. He wants your attention now on Him because His Son is on His way back We really believe that. We are definitely in the last days. There's no shadow of a doubt that we are in the last days. This is an opportunity for us to focus more on him and not materialistic things or self or others. You know, let's really take the time out to give him his just due, because, again, as I was awakened in the Holy Spirit at the very beginning of 2020, the Holy Spirit shook me and woke me up. I was already woke, but he said that, wake up the church. I need you to wake up those who are believers as well as the unbelievers, because those that are in the church are asleep too. The church is asleep, and it's amazing. So we just want you to make sure that you know that you know, okay? Amen. If he decides to come back the next instant or next year or next 10 years, even if it's the next lifetime, you know, what I mean by that, because 100 years from now, you're not here. That's your grandchildren and children's lifetime. You're not here. But you still got to make sure that you know that you know that you're going back with him. And so that's what we want to do, is make sure that you are ready. That is my job, according to the Holy Spirit, and what I've been called to do for the past 20 years, is to wake people up, especially in these days and times, to preach salvation, love, and the return of our Lord and Savior. So we want to make sure that you are ready. Amen. So with that being said, I also want to thank Derek Olive and the Chaos Radio team for this platform, this opportunity. From what I understand, the numbers are really, really growing. So that's a blessing within itself. That's, like I say, I don't want no glory. I'm quite sure the radio station doesn't want any glory, but all glory goes to who? The Most High. We give him all the praise and the glory. This is not about, you know, anyone sticking their chest out. The word says that he adds to the church daily as he sees fit. Amen. He's the one that gives increase, not us. All we do is water. Amen. He provides the sunlight. All we do is water. He provides the growth. Amen. We thank him for that. We thank the Most High, his Holy Spirit, and his Son. Amen. For this opportunity to come before you today to bless you with a word. Again, this is Spiritual Freestyle Fridays. This is the day that I just kind of like, from off the top of the head, you know, I just kind of like just talk about the Bible, just pick out scriptures, whatever comes to mind, just kind of like freestyle, amen. Hopefully one day I'll actually get to take maybe some calls maybe one day. We can kind of get a little bit more personal and just kind of take some questions. I would love to definitely answer some questions, but, you know, we're praying and believing. When it's time, it'll be time for that. But for right now, we're going to go ahead and get into our Freestyle Friday. So I remember I was supposed to talk about the age of accountability, so I have not forgot. It's been on my heart because every time I shut down the show, I remember it comes to my mind. You folks have been talking about the age of accountability. This day I won't forget. I have my information in front of me. I will definitely announce it again on tomorrow for my listeners on Saturday night, because I know that I mentioned it before on there. It's going to be some things we're going to get into. I believe it's going to be very interesting tonight. Tonight I want to talk about the keys of hell and death, and the power of Christ, the power that he has over hell and death. And a lot of times as believers, we don't really – it's like we almost take for granted who we serve. We serve a powerful and awesome God, the Most High Yahweh, his Son, the Holy Spirit is so powerful. The Godhead is so powerful, you can't even imagine. And the great and wonderful thing about it is that they love you. They love me. They love you. They are on our side, amen. That's the good thing. I mean, I wouldn't want it any other way. I'm on the winning team. How neat could it be if every time you got on the field and you played against your enemies, or if you played against the opposing team, you knew that you was going to always win. And that's the one thing I love about being a believer. I always win. Even when I lose, I always win, amen. And so that means, you know, no matter what I go through, I still have the victory. And that is so powerful within itself. It just makes me feel so good and warm inside that I'm a believer, seriously. And I want you to feel that way because, you know, as believers, a lot of people think to live in heaven for all eternity is going to be something that you have to, I guess, feel dreary about. That's not what it's going to be. Paul said it best, eye hasn't seen visually, ear hadn't heard, There's no sound that you've ever heard that are in heaven, nor has it entered into the hearts of man or your mind. You can't even imagine what he has for you. Man, heaven is going to be so incredible. You think the things that we see on this planet, HD, 4K, whatever you think that you see here is beautiful and immaculate. It has nothing. I mean, it has nothing on heaven. Nothing. You know, where we're going when this is all said and done is going to be beautiful. You're going to be beautiful. You're going to be made over again, a brand new body. You're going to live for all eternity. That in itself ought to make you get excited. That should be enough for you to say, you know what, I want to sign up for that. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and get into it. But before I talk about the keys of hell and death, let me deal with this age of accountability, okay? So let me kind of share with you real briefly how I got on this journey of learning about the age of accountability. 20 years ago, it was about 20 years ago when I first got saved. I remember this lady and this gentleman. I was in the middle. They were sitting on the east side of me when I was just working this call center a long time ago at this bank. And the sister on the left of me, she said something that was troubling. I don't even know how we even got on this conversation. But she said that, I don't know, we were talking about, I guess, people being lost. And she had said she believed that babies are in hell. It kind of shocked me when she said that. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm thinking to myself. Now, remember, I'm a babe in Christ, so I'm still learning. I'm reading a lot. I'm studying. And so I'm a babe. And so she says this. I'm looking at her like, I don't believe that babies are in hell. And she looked at me and said, well, I do. And I said, so you really believe that the Most High is going to put a child, a baby in hell? That makes no sense. It doesn't sound like a loving God, a heavenly Father to me. It doesn't. That's just, you know, we all have our opinions. We all study to do the best that we can to show ourselves approved. And so it kind of sent me on a little journey to kind of research and find out, at what age is the age of accountability? We've always heard that it's the age of 12. I remember my dad, he even used to say that it's the age of 12. And so I'm going to share with you some verses, and you come to your own conclusion, but I'm going to share with you to what conclusion I have come to that the age of accountability is, and you may be a little shocked to find this out. Now, let me say this before I share this with you, because I've noticed in the past, when I share this with people, not many, but there's some concern that they don't want their kids to know that because they don't want their children to be relaxed, I should say, because they find out that the age of accountability is a lot more higher than what most preachers teach. Okay, so what I'm saying is that sometimes as kids think, oh, well, I got plenty of time. We don't want to give our kids that mentality. We don't want them, as my kids, I've taught my kids, they know it, but I've always taught salvation to them for as long as they can understand, and they got it at a very young age, and I make sure that you understand. I teach them the Bible. So it's important that you teach your kids the Bible. Don't be the only one that reads, study your Bible. Study your Bible with your kids. If your kids can watch TV and YouTube and play video games, you can definitely take out 20, 15 minutes of your time, or longer, to teach them the word. This is very, very important. Remember, this is your soul and this is their individual soul. So what I'm saying to you is don't let them grow past the age of accountability and not be held accountable when it's time for them to be held accountable. So the Bible says train up a child. Notice it says train up a child. And I should have actually went to that scripture. Let me see if I can find it real quick, because some know where it's at by heart. Some don't. Let me see if I can find it. It's been some time since I've kind of went over that scripture. It's over in Proverbs. Let me see if I can find it real quick. If I can't, I'm quite sure you all can Google it and find it. It's over in Proverbs. Let's see if I can remember where this is at. It's been a while. I actually taught on this sermon years ago. Very beautiful sermon. I'll see if I can find it. Man, for the sake of time, I may have to move on. Come back to it once. I may have to cheat, probably Google it myself. So anyway, oh, here it is. I found it. I believe I found it. Okay, well, I'll come back to that. But it's train up a child the way that they should go. If you train them up in the way they go, the word says that they shall not depart. I remember my dad trained us in the way that we go. Now, we understand that, you know, some people are just going to do what they're going to do. But I believe that if you teach them salvation, the plan of salvation, that's the first thing I wanted my kids to learn, is that you know that you're saved. And where is the plan of salvation? They quoted Romans 10, 9, and 10. What does it say? If thou shalt believe in thy heart, amen, which I'm going to go over that in a little bit, thou shalt be saved. And that's what you want to teach your children. Hey, let's teach them at a very young age. If they 2 or 3 years, they can talk, read them that scripture. Embed that into their scripture. The Proverbs is a great book. So that's where it's at. So without further ado, the point that I'm making is that make sure that you train them up. So when they do transition past the age of or into the age of accountability, they're good to go. They're ready. It doesn't matter. I had one of my sons, he just turned 20 here recently. And, you know, I even sometimes just talk to them. I just want them to see where they're headed at. You know, you ask them, you know, this is their soul. And it doesn't make sense for me to be saved and know that I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to make sure and reassure that my kids are not, my family, my wife and kids are not going. You know, and, you know, once you know that they're there and they got it, they got it. But, again, you just want to make sure, okay, because remember, you don't want to be up there in heaven and be like, man, you know. So, anyway, let's go ahead and take a look at coming from, I know you all were ready for me to get to this scripture. It's coming from Numbers, the 32nd chapter, verse 11. Let's go and just go right to it. Numbers 32 and 11. Let's see if I can get there. Okay. Numbers 32 and 11. And I'm just going to read this one verse, and you'll read the whole entire context. It starts at verse 1 of chapter Numbers 32. The children of Israel were murmuring. They were complaining. If you remember when they left Egypt, they was always complaining. You may have some that didn't complain, but, you know, again, everybody that's in the church is not saved. Everyone that left Egypt was not totally delivered. They had the opportunity. And if you notice one thing about the Bible, what you'll learn about the Bible is that the Bible is parallel. You'll see it is consistent. Meaning that if you want to interpret the Bible, look at its past, and it'll show you the exact same thing in the past as you do see in the present. Everyone in today's church is not saved. They don't have salvation just because they're in church. Well, just because they were delivered out of Egypt by the Most High and left as the children of Israel don't mean that they served the Most High. They complained, and they paid the price for it. Now, watch what it says in Numbers 32 and 11. It says, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old, excuse me, and upward, shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly, not everyone in the church is with you, okay? And I showed you that over in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, verses 18 and 19, okay? Just because they are in the church don't mean that they are of us, okay? They're just there. There are people that's just in church. They're not saved. Now, the point that I'm making, let me get back to the point, is that you see where it says the age of 20. Now, why did he give them grace and mercy up until the age of 20, okay? So that's a shock to most people. You'll say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, go over to Deuteronomy, the first chapter, verse 39, okay? And you can read a little bit more. And context, you read the entire context, and again, you do your own research, you pray, you study, okay? I want to share with you what it says. It says, and you can read the rest of it, I'm going to read verse 39. Deuteronomy 1 and 39 says, moreover, your little ones, okay? Always notice the words that the Bible uses, okay? And learn the context and the interpretation. It says little ones, okay? Now, the Bible doesn't get into, I know some people want to say, you know, teenagers, the Bible doesn't get into that. You're either a man or a child, okay? Just plain and simple. That's what I love about the Bible. Straightforward, man or child. You know, if you're 0 to 19, you're a child, okay? And I believe that because at that age, you don't really know any better. You can't compare a 19-year-old to a 29-year-old, 39, 49-year-old. Of course, as we age, we know better, okay? And some people like to say, well, it's also based on how intelligent a kid is and how smart. Some kids learn that. The Bible doesn't say that. Again, the Bible is straightforward. The Bible says 0 to 19. He gives you grace, okay? which means that you don't know any better, okay? So I'm giving you opportunity to get it right and to transition, okay? So you're under grace, okay? And I believe this. Now, the scripture says, let me finish reading, moreover, your little ones, which he said should be a prey, and your children, which in that they had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it. Amen. And they shall possess it. Okay? Now, again, you do your own study, your own research. The Most High had grace unto them who he considered little ones and children from the age of 0 to 19. I don't believe that 15-year-olds are in hell. I don't believe that. I won't ever accept that. I believe my Heavenly Father is loving. I believe that he's graceful. I believe he gives you opportunity. Yes, there are 15-year-olds that probably know better than 19. They probably do, then at some point they probably don't. Some people want to debate that. I don't really debate any much more of the Bible. I'm so much spiritually matured past that. But I want to share the scripture with you. You do your own study and research. This is my belief, that your age of accountability is once you reach age 20. Now, remember, don't play with it. Teach your kids salvation at an early age, because you don't want to guess and say, oh, they got time, nor do you want your kids to say, oh, I got time. Well, you do, but you need to know salvation. So teach them salvation first. Teach them, train up a child the way they should go, so when they get old, when they hit 20 years old, they shall not depart. We don't have that issue in our house, so I'm not trying to boast or brag, but I'm just saying, because I have taught them that. I've taught the word and understood the word to know, hey, I need to make sure and not just let this grace thing just happen, because when they get a certain age, if you don't teach them, they become rebellious, and they feel like they don't need that. Well, you don't want that to happen. I've seen that many times to happen, even with some people that I've even known. I never understood why the mother would go to church, but never take the kid to church on Sunday. I'm like, man, I'm at church. You didn't go to church? He's at the house chilling. And so anyway, long story short, that's the age of accountability. So it'll have some references probably into what I'm going to teach today about the keys of hell and of death. Hopefully that blessed your spirit. I know I've been wanting to give that to you for a while, so I finally gave it to you. I'll probably, again, announce it tomorrow night, because I have been saying on Saturday that I was going to bless that scripture. So anyway, Romans 10:9-10, amen. This is what we should be teaching people, the plan of salvation, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yeshua and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. For the scripture said, whosoever, anybody can be saved. Don't let nobody tell you, oh, you didn't sell your soul, it's too late. It's never too late. My dad used to say, as long as you got a breath in your body and you're alive, he said there's opportunity and chance to receive salvation. The scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. What is that scripture saying? Paul said this is a prophetic scripture, meaning that you won't be ashamed. Remember, we told you before, as I taught in the weeks past, that you stand before the great white throne judgment of his heavenly Father and all his holy angels. You're going to be standing there naked. Amen? And that's real. You're going to be standing there. You're going to be ashamed, just like Adam and Eve was ashamed in the garden. They were naked. Because why? They sinned. They disobeyed. So for those who are living a disobedient life, Paul says, so that you won't be ashamed. Okay? He said, whoever believes in him shall not be ashamed. That's all it is. It's believing. It ain't said that you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, you get filled with the Holy Spirit as soon as you receive salvation, okay? So people will say, well, you got to do this to be saved. You have to come before the pastor. You know, all these different types of things. You may not live to get before the pastor. Your pastor don't have salvation in his hand or in his bottle of anointing oil. That's not where salvation is. Salvation is not in the church. That's not where it is. Salvation is everywhere. The opportunity, the Holy Spirit is around you, and all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, Paul said, thou shalt be saved. You shall be changed. Amen. You see the Bible parallel in how it's consistent, okay? And so verse 12, for there is no difference between Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Amen. Give me one brief moment. Amen. Okay, so whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord. I have to always extend it because you never know who's listening. If this is your first time, I always want to open up that door for salvation before I really get deep. I'll announce it again throughout the show. Hey, come on into this life. This is the best life. We're living for all eternity over here. Okay, we're living all and start living forever today. Don't wait on anything. Start living forever today. You can receive your salvation, and you're an eternal being right there. You're already saved, and you're going to live with him for all eternity. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get into the keys of hell and death. We're talking about the power of Christ and the power that that he has and the power that the Most High granted him for his obedience. For what? For not being tempted by sin. Okay, he raised him from the dead. Okay, and so I want to take a look at Revelation 1:18, and it says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death." Amen. So a lot of times, amen, I'm going to cover some more things. We don't really understand, you know, the power of our Savior, the power that he has, the power that he possesses. Very, very powerful. And we must understand and recognize this because the Bible says he does not give us the spirit of fear, okay? Because he has all power, not because you have all power, not because I have all power, but because he has all power and we serve him, amen? We do his will. We follow his word, and he protects us and guides us. And I tell people, you know, you don't have to be afraid. You know, the Bible is on our side. Now, do we deal with things in this life? Yes, we do. But that's why we go to him, because he's going to take care of us, because we know that we can look to him, because he'll guard us. He'll protect us from things in this life and in this world. So we just want to make sure that that we understand the scriptures, that we understand the power that Christ has, okay? Now, I'm saying that to say this, okay, because in dealing with this day and time that we're in, so many people are concerned, so much uncertainty is going on in the world. Revelation 3:7, and it talks about the key of David, where he says, "That he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." Christ has the power, all power in his hand. He has the power over death. And this is why a lot of times we have to have confidence that he can keep us, that he keeps our loved ones, because why? He has the power to keep us away from death. And in fact, you won't even see death. Okay? It is believed that death is an angel. He's a spiritual entity, but you won't even have to experience him once you fall asleep in this life. And that's why Paul doesn't call the believer's death death, okay? He calls it sleep, because why? Your soul, your spirit is actually sleeping. Now, yes, the body is decaying, is dying. Why? It's dying because of sin, and because we don't have the power right now over death, but because we believe, amen, because we believe in Christ, the power that he has, the Most High resurrected him from the dead. He has the power, what, over hell and over death. Okay, he has the keys because, again, he has defeated the enemy. Okay, and so I want to also call your attention to Matthew 16:19. In fact, I'll let you read it because I've covered that before in some of my strategies teaching, where, again, it talks about binding and loosing. And if you've ever heard some of my shows on Saturday, what that means is that in order to bind and loose on earth, okay, so that it may be bound and loosed in heaven, you must first have the given authority from on high, from the Most High. And we know that Christ was given the authority whenever he did something, whether he healed the sick, whether he raised the dead, whether he made the blind to see, whether he made the lame to walk. He had authority from on high. See, the authority must come from heaven first. And once he gives you the authority from on high, then you can bound and loose on earth. And then once you do it on earth, then it goes back to heaven. So it is done. So it is. It is now bound and loose in heaven because he gave you permission to do so. But understand that he's what? He openeth what? Doors that no man can shut. He has that. Okay? And that's why we speak things into existence, because by him, amen, by his authority, he allow what we say according to his will to manifest. Amen. So you're not binding and loosing on your own, because sometimes I hear that in church, and that's not how it works. He must give the authority. It's not authority by you as a man. It's authority that's on high by the Most High in heaven. Okay. So let's take a look at Romans, the 6th chapter, real quick. I want to talk about dominion. Go over to Romans, the 6th chapter. Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 8 and 9. Romans 6, 8, 9. It says, this is what it says, Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 8 and 9. It says, now if we be dead with Christ, okay, we believe that we shall also live with him. So that means that because I believe the plan of salvation, I've received salvation, I'm dead with Christ. I mean, I am dead to sin. Sin no longer reigns over me, right? Okay, does that mean that you're going to sin on this earth? Yes, you're going to sin. Because why? Paul said that I am carnal, soul into sin. In other words, you were born in this fleshly, sinful body. So, yes, you're going to sin. But because the lamb that was slain has died for the sin of the world, amen, I'm going to talk about that on tomorrow, then he has taken away the sin. And now you have what? Salvation. And because now you no longer walk out of the flesh, you no longer desire the things of the world. So the things of the world don't have what? Rule, dominion. That's what dominion means in the Greek. It's translated to mean to rule. So sin no longer rules over you. Are you going to make mistakes from time to time? Yes, you are, but it doesn't rule over you, meaning that I'm not going to continue to do something that I know that I'm not supposed to be doing. Why? Because it doesn't have power over me, okay? So in other words, when I'm supposed to be reading, studying my Bible, I'm going to do it often as I can, because why? The world doesn't have a rule over me to ignore my word or to ignore my Heavenly Father and just go about my daily life. It doesn't have that power over me, okay? So watch what it says in verse 9. It says, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, okay? So because he has what? The victory. Death has no more dominion over him. Death doesn't have rule over Christ. Why? Because he was the one that went and lived according to the instructions of the Heavenly Father. So we thank him for his ultimate sacrifice, the lamb that was slain, and has redeemed us back to the Most High. So we know that that the death in hell doesn't have power over Christ. So therefore, because we believe, death in hell won't have power over us. Okay? And so understand that nothing can separate us from his love. Now, I had also said, I mentioned something about suicide, so I want to make sure I clear that up. I mentioned it a few weeks ago, so if you've been listening, you've probably been waiting for me to kind of clarify some things. And let me just kind of go back to how we got to this. Again, I've been teaching this for years, but I just want to go back to how I kind of got on this subject. A few years back, 3 years ago, maybe a couple years ago, I used to teach Sunday school at this church. And the people in the congregation there, they was having a discussion about a young girl. I believe she was like 14 at the time, and she had committed suicide. And the conversation was like, well, you know where you go when you commit suicide and things of that nature. So now you begin to see the relevance of why I was talking about the age of accountability earlier. And I was just kind of thinking to myself, I'm like, wow, here's the thing. You know, we don't know what people go through. I don't know what she went through at that time. I'm not saying that people are not challenging in this life. We know that people get to the point to where they've had enough or whatever it is. I do the best that I can not judge people and to look at some type of way. People, I've heard people say, well, why would she do that? Or why would a person do that? We don't know what people go through. I used to ask that question a long time. Why would somebody do that? You know, I was blessed and fortunate to get saved before I even got that far in my life. And so it's a blessing to not have to experience that. Again, we don't know what people go through. And so I begin to kind of have this talk. We kind of begin to dialogue over that conversation. And again, I don't believe that the Most High, okay, and I know some people may disagree or agree, will say, well, you know, well, if you kill yourself, how can you ask for forgiveness? We understand that, okay? We're not saying, and let me make this clear, because when I teach this, some people go off on the deep end. I am not giving no one any permission, okay, to take their life. I'm not saying that it's okay to take your life, nor am I saying if you take your life, you're going to heaven. Don't listen, make sure we get that clear, okay? Because when I teach this, some people go off on the deep end. I want to make sure that we stay grounded, okay? I'm not saying that by no means necessary, okay? However, I do believe that in grace, okay, meaning that because of the age of accountability, they don't know any better. But when you get a certain age, you know better, okay? And here's the thing. You have opportunity. I believe that most people who lose their life at an early age, I believe that they've had the opportunity. And the Most High knows that if I was to let you live 1,000 years, you still wouldn't serve me. And I kind of happen to believe that's why some people leave a little early because, and I'm talking about those who choose not to get saved. Now, we know some choose to leave because your time is your time. We understand that. But what I'm saying to you is we know that people are witnessing all the time. We talk to people all the time. Me and my brother talk. He talks to young people. I talk to young people. And one of the things that you hear from is that I don't want to hear that. And you begin to hear that more now than ever, especially if you go back, you know, 10 years, 15 years, as time progresses. This is the falling away that Paul talked about over in, I believe, the 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter. The falling away is not the falling away of the believers. It's the falling away of the unbelievers, meaning that they're going to have less and less desire to hear the word of the Most High. They don't want to hear about salvation at this day and time. People, because the Bible talks about man will become wax cold and become lovers of themselves at this day and time. People don't want to hear the word. They are so ready for us to be out of here as far as believers and preaching and teaching the word. Okay, so back to what I was saying. Okay, so in that, understand this, and I'm going to say this so there can be clarification. If it was possible, okay, as a believer for you to take your life, okay, you would be saved, okay? Now, understand, again, the key word, if it was possible, okay? And let me show you why I use that, if it was possible. Go with me over to Romans, the 8th chapter, and I'm going to read all the scriptures. Okay, but I'm just going to read some of them. Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 35 through 39. And I'm going to read only verse 38. You read the rest. But verse 38 of Romans, the 8th chapter says, "For I am persuaded." Paul said, "I am convinced." I don't need no one else to convince me. Paul said, "I am convinced, and I am convinced as well, that neither death," that neither what? Death. You have to understand what death is. And that's why I say that Christ has power over death. Death is a death, which means that passes away in a car wreck. Let's say they die of an illness. Let's say they take their own life. It's death, okay? There is no different levels of death. Death is death. If you fall asleep tonight and don't wake up, that's death, okay? Death angel is the one that takes us out of this world, okay? But he has no more power than Christ. So if a person takes their life, they don't have the power. Christ has the power. And that's why I referred back, gave you the scripture of Romans, the 6th chapter, 8 and 9, meaning dominion over, to rule over. Death doesn't rule over Christ. So what I'm saying to you, again, if it was possible, okay, and when I say possible, what I'm saying is he said that I don't put no more on you than you could bear. So in other words, he protects you from getting to that point in your life to where you want to take your life. which brings me to the point of revelation in which I've been teaching on about the Great Tribulation. That's how we know that the saints won't be here. The Great Tribulation is going to be so horrible, so bad, that people are going to be committing suicide. There's going to be so many things happening during the Great Tribulation that's going to shock the world. People are going to be taking their life left and right. That's how bad it's going to be. So we're not going to have to go through that. Remember, he said, I'll put no more on you than you can bear. Hour, amen, of the Great Tribulation. Okay, and that's over in Revelation 3 and 10. I'm going to read that verse for you real quick. Revelation 3 and 10 says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, because you've been saved, because you've done the plan of salvation, you've lived this word, you're living spiritually, you're reading your Bible, you're going about your daily routine, you are a saint, right? Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, this is Christ talking, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all of the world. We will not be here. Okay? So you don't have to worry about it. I'm talking about it's gonna be insane. People are not gonna be able to feed their children. See, that's not stuff that you want to deal with, which I will also deal with that too, about how the children won't, how at the time of the when he comes to get the children won't be here. But those who have children, that's why Christ said, woe unto them who give birth during that time. Because when you have a baby during the tribulation, you're not going to be able to feed that child. That's going to be some unimaginable stress. I remember one time when I got laid off from the bank. I won't say the name of the bank. It's a very popular, well-known bank. I got laid off. I was very upset about that. I really liked that job, and I thought they were going to get, you know. Anyway, I got laid off. Very unexpected. I thought I was going to get unemployment. They denied me. And you're talking about the cover went from food to no food. And I'm looking at none of the kids, looking at them, and they asked me, look, this is my kids a little bit small. They're all about grown now. Most of my kids are grown. But kids looked at me and said, Dad, so what are we going to eat today? That's a very tough pill to swallow. Very tough. And so this is why I tell the listeners, if you're an unbeliever, you're on the fence, receive salvation. There's no shadow of a doubt. You don't want to be here when this thing kicks off. It's going to be near most impossible to survive because you're going to be so used to the norm that you're going to be – you think this wearing masks and stuff that they're prepping you for is so uncomfortable. I know it's uncomfortable for me, but it may not – maybe some of you have gotten used to it. I can't get used to that, wearing a mask. But they're training your mind. They're training you mentally and spiritually for what's to come, to be uncomfortable and to make it the norm. But it's going to be – I don't know how many times more worse than what it is now. Christ is going to keep the saints, so that we won't have to deal with that. You're not going to have a thought of committing suicide or want to take your life. That's why I use the word if it was possible, because why? Christ has the power over death. You wouldn't lose your soul, but we know that he's going to keep us from that. He keeps you from getting to the extent in your life to where you want to take your life. Why? Because he protects you. He loves you. He don't want you to ever come to that point in your life to where you may think that you want to take your life. There may be some days where it may get rough and, you know, you may, man, you know what? I wouldn't be mad if Christ was to come back today. You probably get to that point, but not ever to the point to where you just want to take your own life, because he loves us. And this is why he says over in Romans, the 8th chapter, for I am persuaded that neither death, and you can read the rest, nothing can separate us from the love, right? This is what the word says. Nothing can separate us. Death doesn't have power to separate you from the Most High. That's the point that I'm making. Now, am I saying that you can commit suicide? It's not what I'm saying, okay? I love to clarify, because I don't want nobody to say, oh, he said, I'm not saying that you can go and take your life. I've never said that, okay? I didn't say if you go take your life, it's not a consequence. I didn't say that. And I did say if you're under grace, the age of accountability, children don't know any better. Now, I'm not telling you to go teach kids that and tell them that. No, I'm not saying that. But do understand, okay, when you get a certain age, you are accountable for yourself. Whether it's 20, 25, I believe, again, according to Scripture, it's 20. When you get 20, you're accountable for your soul, okay? So that's according to what I've studied and read in the Word. I don't believe it's 12. I don't believe it's 15. I know that some people teach that. I don't knock what other people teach. I'm just sharing with you what I've studied and researched. Okay? But the Most High loves you, and I definitely don't believe that babies and little children are in hell. I won't ever come to that conclusion, okay? So let's move on to some more scriptures. Let me share some more scriptures, and you kind of begin to see, because I got a lot to share with you, and I'm just now noticing that time is kind of moving, okay? Now, 1 Corinthians 10 and 5, okay? 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 5. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Why do I have verse 5 written down? Amen. It's actually verse 13. I was looking at something else. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 13. It says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as coming to man. Okay? So what that means is that there's no temptation that's going to come to you that's uncommon. He's talking to the saints is who he's talking to. So in other words, what you're going through, if you can't pay your cell phone bill, guess what? That's not uncommon. You're not going to – it's not the end of the world because you can't pay your cell phone bill, okay? It wasn't the end of the world because my cupboard was low. And let me share that. And please understand why I'm clarifying that I'm teaching you this, because I want you to know and to understand. That's why I use myself as an example. Hey, that's tough to not be able to feed your family. And then in the mind, I didn't get a job. I didn't have no unemployment. We was flat broke out of money. And we didn't end up getting money until like about almost a month and a half later. I could have made a lot of bad choices, okay? But the Bible said that he's going to keep you from temptation. Stick with him. See, a lot of times we run into hard times. The first thing we want to do is go in the opposite direction. No. During these times, get closer to him. That's why I said this is an awakening. Get closer to him. Start reading your Bible. Pray. Go to him. Prayer changes things. And lo and behold, an old contractor that we used to work for, my wife had called him up. And he said, you know what? I do got some work. That was a blessing. A huge. Well, actually, no. He said he didn't have work, but he had a friend. And we, you know, in the metro, you know, the metro's here. We had a friend of another area of the metro said that they had work, and we went to work. It was a blessing for us. And yeah, we had to borrow and get some funds from here and here. But you know, if you ever been in a situation like that where you can't pay bills, especially your mortgage, you can't borrow a lot of money from family. That's just not gonna happen unless you got a rich uncle or something. And that's not the case here. So you know, you have to borrow a little bit here and there, and you have to negotiate a little bit. And just kind of make it stretch. But it was a blessing that we made it through is the point that I'm making. So there hath no temptation taken you but such as coming to man. He's not going to put more on you than you can bear. He's not going to allow you to go through something so intense that you just want to just take yourself out of here. No, that's not the case for us as believers. This is why it is a blessing to be a child of the Most High. He's going to guard and protect his children. Yeah, you're going to go through some rough times. I'm talking about those of us who really truthfully believe. We're not talking about those that are planted. You really truthfully believe in your heart and you love him. He's going to keep you. He said, I will build a hedge around you. He's protecting us, okay? He's always looking out for it. When you don't know that he's looking, when you going to work, he's protecting you. When you're walking home or whatever you're doing, he's always, when you sleep at night, he's protecting your house or anoint your house with oil. I anoint my house. I pray over my house. And I say, I plead it. If anybody try to come in my house, that the Most High strike them dead. I don't care if it's no clouds in the sky at night or daytime, whatever, and lightning bolt come out of nowhere. Hey, you got to believe like that because, you know, I don't need anything else to protect me. The Most High protects me. He protects his own. Now, the scripture said, but Yahweh is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Now, do you see why I say that if it was possible, if you was to take your life, you still wouldn't lose your soul. But we know that it's not possible. Why is it not possible? And that's why I say if it was possible. That's why I say you have to listen to what I'm saying and follow what I'm teaching. To understand what I'm saying to you, okay? If it was possible, but we know according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, it's not possible because he's not going to allow you to what? Be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear. That was a way of escape because I had no clue what I was going to do. I was filling out applications. I was going left and right. I was going nuts. trying to find a job because I couldn't find work. And my wife had made the phone call. And he said, you know what, we got something. And from there, just stand on the blessing. The blessings just begin to just flow in. He's going to look out for you. If you're in this time and you're without a job, you're struggling, you're dealing with some things, you're going to make it through. If you have to stretch and pull, don't give up. I'm asking you, don't give up. Definitely come to this side. Don't go to no other false, fake religion. Don't start believing what folks are telling you this and that. Don't start listening to folks talking about going and doing something crazy. Don't lose hope. Don't give up the faith. He's got you. Trust me, he does. Because like I say, man, I mean, I know that people probably been through much worse, but I'm just saying, you know, for me, that was something to deal with my little kids looking at me, and I'm the man. You feel bad as a head of the household. You're not able to take care of your family. Okay, I usually only like to stress the personal stuff with y'all, but I'm actually kind of putting myself out there a little bit. It's not something it was straight up. Now I'm not sure that with anybody else. That's straight. I'm here sharing it over there. But amen. Hopefully it blesses someone. Okay? But I want to share that with you, okay? Because he's going to take care of his own, okay? He's not going to put more on you than you can bear, okay? So he's got your back, okay? That's why I say, man, you know, being on this side, being a believer has benefits. You know, they used to have the saying, being a member has benefits. Well, being a believer has its benefits, okay? So the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations with an S, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, okay? So he has a way of keeping us, 2 Peter 2 and 9, to keep us out of what? Temptations, to keep you from being tempted to doing something that you shouldn't be doing. He always has a way of escaping. You run into something, time get hard, you're heartbroken. Maybe you just lost your job, you lost your company. Hey, he has a way of escape. Don't give up, okay? He got you, okay? Going through this pandemic, he got you. Like I said, I've talked to so many people, it kind of bothers you sometimes because, like, wow, you know, where is the world going, okay? Because not everyone is fortunate if you're still working, if you started back working. Not everyone is fortunate. We don't want people to give up. We're praying for people, okay? So, in looking at the scriptures, okay, Revelation 9 and 6. Let's see what Revelation 9 and 6 says. And so, again, we were talking about the power that Christ has over death, okay? Now, I was saying about in the tribulation, we know that people are going to be trying to commit suicide. But it's going to be a point in the Great Tribulation that people are going to try to take their lives, and guess what's going to happen? The Most High is not going to permit them to find death. It's not going to happen. Revelation 9 and 6 says, and in those days shall men seek death. Now, ain't that something? They're looking for, they want to die. Man, I'm telling you, you don't want to be here. And like I said, I don't want to get too much on the Revelation because I have to teach it. So I only want to share a glimpse of it with you, a little bit with you. We'll go in depth when I get there. Okay? People are going to be looking to that. That's how bad the Great Tribulation is going to be. I can't even fathom wanting to die because it's so bad. And I'm not making light of it. I can't imagine how bad it's going to be. You can't even imagine how bad it's going to be that you're going to want to just take your life. The scripture said that man shall seek death and shall not find it and shall desire to die. They want to die. And death shall flee from them. It's going to be some things that's going to be unheard of. People are going to be trying to take themselves out and they're not going to die. That is amazing. They're going to want to die, but the Most High said, no, death is not going to allow it. And they're going to be content to be tormented in the Great Tribulation. Remember, Christ has power over death and hell. He has the power, okay? Men will try to commit suicide, take their own life, but they won't be able to find it, okay? But who has the victory? Christ has the victory. Right? He died for our sins, and he came out, and he took the keys to death and hell. I read to you over in Revelation 1:18. He has the power. Okay? This is awesome to be a believer, to be a member of the Most High. Okay? I love it. And I want you to join us if you hadn't. Romans, the plan of salvation, Romans 10:9-10. Hey, look, salvation is free. I tell people all the time, salvation is easier than drinking water or breathing air. All you have to do is accept it. That's all you got to do. You are saved. The Bible said all you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that thou shalt be saved. Salvation is just that simple. I remember being taught when I was growing up that, man, you had to do this and do that. It got stressful from them just telling you what you had to do to be saved. I'm like, man, you got to do all that just to be saved? You know, it got to be stressful. But you come to learn after you study the Word, like, you know what? The Bible doesn't even say that. We don't even have to do all these things that we've been taught. But it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The word grave is translated to mean hell, Hades. Where is thy sting? Okay? O grave, where is thy victory? They have no victory over us. Okay? For a temporary time, the grave will have victory over the saints, which means that when you leave this world, if you're not here when Christ comes back, if you leave this world, your body's going to go in the grave. Your body's going to sit out there in the grave. For a short period of time, temporarily, the grave has victory over you. For a short period, it don't really have victory over you. It just, right now, it rules over your body for right now. Don't have the victory. It's going to hold your body until Christ calls you. And when he shout, when that sky roll back and he shout, death got to let you go. The grave got to let you go. Okay? Because the reality is that your soul, your spirit is in heaven resting. But your body is the one that it rules over. But when he calls you, your body's going to raise up and your body and your soul will come back in a twinkling of an eye together. You're going to have a brand new body. Christ, remember, has the what? Keys over hell and death. He has the victory. Okay? Wanted to share that with you. So let me go over to Revelation, the sixth chapter. Let's go back over to Revelation, the sixth chapter, verse 8 and 20. Let's look at Revelation, the sixth chapter. Verse 8 written down. Let's see what it says. It says, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with beasts of the earth. Again, when the tribulation starts, you don't want to be here. We see instances of these things happening now. In this time now, we see it happening now. Right now, death is on the rampage because he's allowed to. Okay? But it's going to get worse. Okay? Especially when the tribulation kicks off. It's going to greatly increase. The number is going to increase exponentially. Okay? But watch this. If you notice with death, who follows behind him? Hell. Because this is written to those who don't believe. So remember what I told you, that Revelation is not for us as believers to fear. It's for those who are unbelievers to fear. We won't even be here. We'll be going to heaven by the time all this stuff happens. And those that are left here behind, they're going to have to go through this. And if they die as unbelievers, which most will during this time period, then they're going to see death. They're going to see the death angel. See, we're not going to see them. The angel's going to take us off the glory, and we're going to be resting in heaven. But those who are unbelievers, and then the scripture says hell falls behind it. Why is that? Because hell, death basically takes you to hell. That's what's next. If you're an unbeliever, you die in this life, and death carries you off to hell. Okay? So, again, you don't want no part of that. Okay? But I know that most people listen, if not all, or I believe that you're saved. You've heard the plan of salvation plenty of times. You receive salvation. And you said to yourself, you know what? I'm glad I ain't even worried about that. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. I tell you that much. And I pray for those who are unbelievers that they get saved before it's too late. Because I'd rather not no one be lost. But we know according to the word, there's going to be many lost. And it's going to be their choice. Remember, you got grace. You, people have heard the word. I've heard the word all my life. My dad, even when I was young, used to tell me when I was a teenager, why don't you go ahead and give your life to Christ? Why don't you go and do it? And, you know, I was kind of like, didn't want to because, you know, at the time, you know, the world made salvation look like something that you don't want to be a part of. They shunned people who were saved and in church and talked about you, made you feel bad, made you want to be a part of the world. And that's how Satan does. He glamorizes the world to make you want to be a part of the world and make the world look good. But he's selling you a lie. He's selling you a pipe dream. That's not where you want to go. I tell you, you want to be saved. If I had known what I know now, I would have received salvation a long time ago. My dad told me when I was 13. And that's probably why he was telling me that because, you know, again, remember the age of accountability. They believed back then. My dad teacher was 12. So I remember him talking to me when I was 13, telling me, why don't you go ahead and get saved? Okay? But not knowing at that time that I still had, what, 6 more years till I was 19 through grace. Okay? But when I turned 20, did I get saved? No. And that's why it's important that we teach salvation to kids. You know, at that time, they didn't really teach the plan of salvation. They taught religion. They taught, hey, you got to live this and do that to be saved. When that wasn't true. When someone would tell me all I have to do is just believe and I'll be saved, that's all you have to do is just believe. And the Holy Spirit is going to take care of the rest. He's going to deliver you. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't work at your own soul salvation. You got work to do as well. But the main purpose is that you believe. You have to believe first and let the Holy Spirit come in, and then the Holy Spirit begins to lead and guide you and teach you. And from there, amen, you begin to be delivered from certain things. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, the Holy Spirit just begins to work on you and deliver. You say, you know what? I don't have a taste for those things no more. I don't have a taste to want to go and hang out and do this and do those things that I used to do when I was in the world. I don't have a taste for those things. I don't desire to do those things no more. I don't want no part of that life no more. Amen. I thank him for his grace. And sometimes I see things on TV and I'm just actually grateful that he delivered me from that. I'm like, man, you know what? I wasn't really missing nothing. I really wasn't. And so we thank him for his grace and his mercy. Again, we thank you for all for your listening and for your time tonight. Remember, salvation is free. Okay, salvation is for everyone, to anyone who chooses to believe. And I tell you, man, you're going to want to be a part of that eternity. For all eternity. I know sometimes I just get chills thinking about that. I'm going to actually get to live for all eternity. I mean, never. Time will cease. Time will be irrelevant. You're going to live so much longer. 1,000 years have passed by. Remember, when Christ come back, we're going to even get to rule with him 1,000 years. How neat is that? You're going to get your brand new body. You're going to actually come back and remember this earth, remember this life, and you'll say, wow, but look at me now. You're going to have your crowns of glory. Remember those crowns? You're going to have crowns, and you're going to be, you have a new, beautiful robe, and you'll have a glow about you. And, man, you're going to be so just unbelievable. And we're going to rule with Christ 1,000 years on. I mean, to me, that's just amazing to say, I'm going to live here on earth 1,000 years. We think 100 years is a long time. We're about people say, man, that person lived 120 years, 100. 15 years, 110 years, we think that's a long time. Man, you're gonna get to 300 years and be like, man, this ain't nothing. You're going to get to 400 and 500 and you'll be like, man, this ain't nothing. I got an eternity to go. Man, you're going to want to be a part of that, okay? So that's a blessing, okay? So I just want to share some more scriptures with you because, again, we're dealing with the keys of hell and death and how Christ has the victory, okay, over hell and death. And so I want to call your attention to Luke, the 16th chapter, verse 23, okay? And those souls that are in hell are crying out for mercy, okay? And so this is why we pray for those who are out in the world, because remember, we were once lost. I don't want nobody to be lost. So I thank him for his opportunity for allowing me to get it right. So this is why Christ is delaying his return. That's why the Most High hasn't sent them back yet, because he still wants as many people to change and get saved before it's too late. And I want them to get saved before it's too late. I don't want nobody to die and go to hell. I don't. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I wouldn't want nobody to leave this world tonight, today, or in the future, because we know that people have already passed on and it's too late, and leave this world and just be lost. Your soul is lost for all eternity. There is no coming back. I remember one time people were talking about purgatory. I was like, what in the world is purgatory? And this person went on to explain to me what purgatory was. She said purgatory was you go to this place you die, you get a second opportunity to get it right. I'm like, there's no such thing. The Bible, there's nowhere in the Bible. At least I've never heard that in the Bible. It's not in the Bible, in fact. But she was saying there's a purgatory. Don't believe these things that people tell you. Read and study your Bible. I tell people, hey, you know, if it's not me, find you a Bible teacher. Somebody's going to really teach you the word and teach you the truth. People got all kind of, you know, Lucifer got all kind of tricks out there. You got to be careful who you listen to. There's no such thing as no second chance out. This is your chance. Now, watch what it says. This is Luke, the 16th chapter. I'm going to read verses 23 through 31, but we're just going to go to 23 to 25. Okay, and again, there are people in hell right now crying. Now, remember, hell and the lake of fire, two different places. I learned that from the years back from studying. I was shocked when I was studying. I found, like, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that? And I never realized until I read Revelation over when Revelation, the 20th chapter, verses 14, 15, where the scripture said, hell shall be cast into the lake. I said, wait a minute. The scripture says hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire? I thought the hell was lake of fire. I thought that is where people go to burn. No. Hell is a place of torment. It's not fire. It's torment. Now, we don't know what the torment is. But let me read the scripture and show you what it says. It says in Luke, the 16th chapter, verse 23, it says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and see Abraham afar, and Lazarus in his bosom. Okay, now Abraham was a saying for back then. It was believed that paradise was in the earth. Okay, it was a realm in the earth where Hades was, but there was a gulf that separated the two, okay? And this is what Christ is referring to the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And he said, watch this. It says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. Now, see how the rich man thought? And people think like that. People are still arrogant. He's in hell still. So he still thought that Lazarus should serve him. See how arrogant people are. I tell you, some people will never change. And that's why I said earlier, if he was allowed a person to live 1,000 years, some people still wouldn't serve him. No matter what they go through in his life, they are arrogant and they still gonna do what they want to do. And that's why I believe that some people leave this world at a young age and that are who are unbelievers, because he knows that, you know what, I can leave you here 1,000 years and you still not gonna change. Some people just like, you ever see some people just hard headed. I deal with people like that at the bank. I'm like, Lord have mercy. I ain't told you 1,000 times, but they just want to be right. It's just hard headed. And you know, you got people like that in this life. They just hard headed. You try to take them like baby steps and show them, and they still think they're right. It's like, Lord have mercy. Okay. We're going to pray for you. Okay. So again, the scripture says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Okay. And that word flame in the Greek is translated to mean it's like a sting. Okay. So now it says I am tormented in this flame. We don't really know what hell is. Is it really fire down there? Is it really pain? The Bible describes it as painful. Okay. Could it be some fire? It could. We don't know. Remember, I told you that Paul said it best. Paul said, I hadn't seen visually, nor has it been heard. You can't even hear. We hadn't heard anything in heaven, nor have we imagined in our hearts or our mind what's in heaven. Well, guess what? Notice that always there's always an opposite. Hell is the exact same way. I get so tired of people playing all these games talking about they didn't been to hell. No, you may have had a vision. I had a vision of hell. I'll never forget when I was young, I went out to the club one night, and this guy got shot. And he didn't pass away, but he got shot, and it basically just ruined his life. And so for some reason, I went home that night. It was unbelievable what we seen. And I went home that night. I woke up the next morning, and I woke up. When I woke up from that dream, I had a dream that I was in hell. And people were burning and people were screaming. And it was amazing. And you'd be shocked and surprised. I didn't get saved after that. And I'm telling you, people just hard-headed. But we pray for his grace. And I still didn't get saved after that. But I thank him for his grace and his mercy. But the point that I'm making is that you can have a dream or a vision about hell, but to say that you've actually been to hell, nobody has been to hell. Okay, I'm going to say this again. No one has been to hell and has come back and lived to tell about it. And we're going to read the scripture in a minute. We're going to prove this. This is Christ talking and read it. So we know it's the truth because Christ said it. Ain't nobody been to hell and came back. We're going to stop that foolishness right now. You may have had a vision of hell. Yeah, you can have a vision or a dream of hell. I'm with that. You say, I had a yeah, you had a vision. But nobody really, we can't imagine in your wildest dreams what is in hell. You don't want to go there. Okay? That's why he said in hell, he lifted up his eyes. He was in shock. When you live in comfort, you party, you having fun, and then boom, you die. You don't know why. You just know, man, where am I at? Then death is carrying you off the hill. You're like, wait a minute, hold on. And you have no more knowledge of this life. The second you die, the very next split second, you don't know what's going on. You don't know what your family doing, your kids, your loved ones. You don't have no clue of what's going on in this life. That's it. It's over with. That's why the Bible said there is no consciousness in the grave, meaning that once you leave this world, there is no consciousness. You don't know what's going on in this life. It's over with. That's it. No second chance, no going back saying bye to nobody. No, that's it. You're gone. You're through with this life for all eternity. Who wants to deal with that? Don't let that be you. Don't straddle the fence playing games. I remember this guy I was witnessing to one time. You know, he was an atheist. He was going on talking about it. It's all smokes and mirrors. It is not funny, but it's just funny how arrogant he was about the situation. I tell you, when I witnessed the people are something else. And he was just arrogant about it. And I remember seeing the brother again, and I was like, man, I said, you know, you ready to get saved? You ready to start living forever today? He's like, no, I don't want no part of that. I'm like, man, you don't want no part of this. You don't even know what you're saying. You don't want no part. But you want a part of going to hell for all eternity. You want a part of being tormented. You want a part of seeing the death angel himself. You want a part of being carried off to hell. You want to be a part of torment for all time. You can't imagine what hell is like. All these different books and these people are selling books. These people are getting likes on social media. Nobody knows what hell is like. We can't imagine. Paul said it best. You can't visually imagine what's in hell. You can't in your mind imagine what's in hell. You can't even think in your heart. Or even the sounds that's in hell. There's some stuff that we do like, what in the world is that? You don't want to go there, trust me. Okay? So we can't allow people to play games with us. Now watch what it says in verse 25 says, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. See, don't be fooled by these people in the world that sold their soul. They live the best life. They got millions of dollars. They got bling bling. They got planes. They got cars. Man, Lucifer is setting these folks up in the moment that he wants the death angel to take him. Okay? See, people don't understand. The Most High don't take, you know, he ain't the one that's taking life. Death takes life. He allows it. But again, who has the power over death and hell? I told you, Christ does. Our Savior does. And at the time, he said, no, you can't touch my believer. You can't touch them. Now, you can have them, but you can't touch this person. You can't mess with Tim. When it's time for you, for me to allow you to take him, if it's before I return, then I will allow, but not right now. And I say how he'll go. See, that's how he protects his children. Okay? But those that desire living unruly and just doing everything, and then you see some bad opportunities, like, man, okay? You don't want to be a part of that. But it says that how he received what? Good things. And see, it's okay to have good things, but make sure that you are saved. You want to have good things and live for them. You don't want to sell your soul to get these trinkets here on earth just because somebody gave you a $5 million house and they promised you all this stuff. Your life could be snuffed out just like that. That's the game that the devil's playing with these people who have sold their soul. And they're not only entertainers and rich people, those people on that level of soul. There are people, everyday people are selling their soul. He's tricking you. He's fooling you. But the greatest gift is eternal life, and you're going to miss that. Ain't no amount of materialism or money, anything in this life is better than eternal life. Paul said, they said it best on the Acts, silver and gold have I none, but that I do have, I give you Christ. I give you this. I give you eternal life is what he said. I'm giving you the best. Christ said, I go to prepare a place in my Father's house are many mansions. Don't let the devil fool you. The words of scripture is right in front of you. You're going to receive the best. You sitting there thinking because you got a $200,000 car, you're doing something. You got millions of dollars in the bank. Hey, I talk to people all the time got money in the bank, and they're here. They have the most wealth here. There is most of them. $10 million here. And there's nothing wrong with you if you got Christ in your life first. But we know according to the scripture that most of those people don't put their God is the money. Their God is the material world, this world. And most people have sold their soul to get to that level. I tell you right now, you can't have my soul. My soul belongs to the Most High. Amen. All glory to Yahweh. Amen. His son Yeshua, the master, the creator of all things, the Lord and Savior and his Holy Spirit. You can't have my soul. I'm going back to be with him for all eternity. And he'll give me all the desires of my heart. He said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. How is he going to give me the desires of my heart? That means he knows me better than I know myself. And let me give you a quick example so I can move on, get ready to close out, to what that means. I remember a long time ago when I first got saved, I had wanted something. And it was funny because the Holy Spirit said, Tim, don't be specific what you want. Just pray that the Heavenly Father gives you the desires of your heart. I'm giving you a nugget tonight. I'm blessing you right there. He said, don't be specific in what you want. Some people should tell you to be specific. He said, no. The Spirit said, ask the Heavenly Father to give you the desires of your heart. And I prayed that prayer. Don't you know when I was blessed? He gave me more than if I had been specific, I would have missed out. Because I said, you know what? I did want that, but I would have never thought to ask for it in my prayer. I said, wow, thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, the Son. Because he gave me the desires of my heart. Your desires are greater than what you confess, than your wants. See, when I get specific, say, well, this is what I want. But your wants are not your desires. See, you could be hungry and want to eat, but because you want to eat and you want to say, well, you know, I want something now, you're not getting what you desire. So because you go get what you want, you stop and go get your burger at a place, but that's not what you really desire. You desire to sit down and eat a steak with some vegetables, but see, you're not getting your desire, you're getting your want. That's not what you want. Ask for the desires of your heart, because why? He knows you better than you know yourself. All glory to the Most High. Let me move on. I just had to throw that in there. I don't know how we got way over there. This is Spiritual Freestyle Friday, so we thank y'all for joining us tonight. Spiritual Freestyle Friday. This is Tim the Overseer. My other two co-hosts, I guess they got a little occupied tonight. That's all good. Things do happen in life. We wish those gentlemen the best. We know they probably got some things that they had to tend to tonight. Could have been more important. I definitely understand. Hopefully they'll be back on the air with us tomorrow night. Well, actually next Friday night, 10 p.m. East Coast, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. Pacific West Coast time. I'll be back on the air tomorrow night, which would be 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific time, and 7 o'clock East Coast time, Spiritual Sense Live, where we've been in Revelation, and we're going to actually get into Revelation, the 5th chapter, tomorrow. Very interesting. Now we're getting to the things to come. It was just called eschatology, the study of end-time events. We are now there. We dealt with the seven churches. Where now things are going to get interesting in Revelation. It's already was interesting. I love the seven churches. I'm from the Church of Philadelphia, the Church of Brotherly Love. Join me. It's the greatest church to be a part of. The Church of Smyrna is a good church. All churches are really good because we know that there are saints in all churches. But the Church of the Brotherly Love, the Church of Smyrna, amen. He's looking for those churches that didn't have no condemnation. So make sure that you receive salvation today before it's too late. Let's go ahead and get ready to shut it down. Let's go ahead and finish up these last few chapters. Let's go ahead and finish it up. So again, Luke, the 16th chapter, verse 25, talked about the good things that the rich man received in this life. And it says, and likewise, Lazarus, evil things, which means he was mistreated. See, apparently Lazarus believed in who? Christ. He was a servant. He, though he was poor, and you read this context, man, how he was poor, he begged, and, you know, the dogs would come and lick his sores. Oh, man, I mean, he got it. This is an example of us as believers. Man, we get it in this life. We go through it. But remember, I told you earlier that he won't what? Put no more on you than you can bear. There are days that you say, man, you know what? I wouldn't be mad if you was to roll back that sky today, Christ. I wouldn't be mad at you, because you know what? This life is pretty tough. But watch what it says in verse 25. Luke 16 says, but now he is comforted. See, our comfort is coming. Man, you won't get the rest for all eternity. Man, all Adam had to do was just eat of the trees of the garden, just walk around. He had it made. Just walk around. That was heaven. The Most High created heaven on earth for Adam. You want to know why the paradise of Eden was heaven on earth? Let me show you how beautiful paradise was. Paradise was so beautiful that as right now it's sitting before the throne of the Most High. It says over in Revelation, the tree of good and evil, the Garden of Eden is now before the Heavenly Father. It's in heaven now. That's how beautiful the Garden of Eden is. It was so beautiful. He gave him heaven on earth, and all he had to do was just rule over it, dominion. That's all he had to do, walk around. Just, man, that's all you got to do is walk around heaven, all just dominion. You're going to be serving him and praising him for all eternity in beauty. Man, I'm so glad I'm there. I'm praying for you. If you're not there, to get there. And for those of you that are there with me, amen. We're going to run on and see what the end is going to be. Amen. So watch this. Verse 26, it says, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from this. Always remember that the word talks about they. They is always who? The unbelievers. Us is always who? The believers. Amen. That would come from this. There was a gulf that separated Hades from paradise. This is before the old. This is back in the Old Testament time. But watch what verse 27 says. It says, then he said, I pray thee, therefore, watch this, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. There are people in hell right now that wish they could warn their loved ones, man, whatever you do, get your soul saved and don't come here. That's not a joke. That is real. There are people in hell right now that's in constant torment, that rest not day or night in torments, wishing that they could change, wishing they can come back and tell those who are living wrong and who are shunning Christ and being funny and think it's a joke and, oh, it's all smokes and mirrors, wish they can come back and tell you, man, get saved. Do not come here. Man, that's something. Now watch what it says in verse 29. It says, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Now what does that mean? It's saying that they have the scriptures. They had Moses and the prophets throughout the time. You have the preachers. You have Tim. Here's Tim teaching you the word. You don't need nobody to come. That's why I tell people, ain't nobody been to hell. Tell them they ain't nobody been to hell. They ain't told you nothing. They ain't showed you nothing. The scripture's saying it right here, right? It says, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Watch what he said. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Stop letting people play games with you. Ain't nobody went to hell. Ain't nobody came back and tell you nothing. They don't even know what hell's like. They can't even imagine hell. Hell is a horror that can't nobody imagine in your wildest dreams. Ain't nobody come back telling you nothing. If they don't hear us, this message that I'm preaching, Christ said it best. He said, watch what he said. He said unto them, he said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, if they hear not Tim the overseer, if they hear not the ministers on this roster that come on every night, almost every night throughout the week, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. If I can't persuade you, a person walking up like a zombie from hell, and come back and tell you the things that they've seen and heard and that's in their minds, tell you, you're still not going to be persuaded. I told you earlier, people are just hard-headed. Only thing we could do, one brother told me, said, man, you ain't convinced me. And I said, brother, it ain't my job to convince you. My job is simply to tell you. But if you choose not to believe before it's too late, before the throne of judgment, you'll be standing there naked and ashamed, and Christ is going to say, you remember what my servant told you about me? And he was trying to tell you about salvation, the plan of salvation. You want to hear him? He said that on my left hand, depart from me, you what? Work of iniquity. And the angels are going to cast you into the lake of fire for all eternity. Man, who wants to be a part of that? Amen. I thank him so much for his salvation. Amen. I believe that's all the scriptures that I have. I probably got a few more. I got a little bit more time. Let's go to Matthew's, the 19th chapter, verse 13. Let's see what Matthew's 19, 13, and 14. Matthew's, the 19th chapter, verses 13 and 14. What does it say? Why do I have this written down? Oh, okay, there we go. Such is the kingdom. It says, then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Yeshua said, watch what he says, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Why did I read you that scripture? Remember I told you about the age of accountability? And I showed you in the scripture where it says men and children. That's it. 0 to 19 are children. Heaven is full of children. It is. Who you think has more innocence, a grown man or a child? That's so obvious. A child does. That's why when they tried to stone the woman and they brought the woman to Christ, he said, thou, either one of you, without sin, cast the first stone. And the Bible says from the eldest to the youngest left. Why did the oldest leave first? They know they have sin. They was old. They've been sinning for a long time. The youth, they probably haven't been sinning. They've been sinning. They have as much sin as the older guys. I'm telling you, heaven is full of children. There are no children in hell. Don't let nobody teach you that, okay? I know some people have been taught certain things. Sometimes we just kind of roll with it, but I don't believe that. Hell is not full of children. Hell is full of hard-headed people who had the chance and opportunity and chance after chance, and because they rebelled and they had a reprobate mind and chose not to receive the Holy Spirit, they lost their soul. Amen. So he said he suffered not little children. He said, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Your babies are in heaven. Amen. I don't tell people no little babies are in heaven. Where do you get that? What church? Who your pastor? Okay. Revelation 21 and 4. And I'm going to shut it down. Amen. I got a minute left. Revelation 21 and 4. Hope I got time. Revelation the 21st chapter, verse. Why do I have verse 4? Probably verse 14. I guess I'll be studying too hard. Revelation 21 and 14 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Hey, guys, I'll be back on the air tomorrow night. Amen. I may touch a little bit on this. Your salvation is powerful. Don't let nobody tell you different. You can't lose your salvation. Satan, Lucifer, death and hell don't have that power. I won't give the devil that power so he can take my soul, because he don't have that power. You cannot lose your salvation. Amen. I don't care who wants to try to contest me on it. Amen. You can't contest the word. Amen. The word doesn't teach that. So it's not about me. It's about the word. Death and hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire. So we can't imagine how horrible the lake of fire is going to be. But family, I love you. Thank you for tuning in. I'll be back on the air tomorrow night. May the Most High bless you, family. Remember, you are blessed. You are royalty. You're blessed by the best. And family, until next time, bless the kingdom. You all have a good night. I love each and every one of you. Stay safe.